Welcome, family. My name is Elisei. For those of you guys that don't know, I'm an associate pastor for Second Service. It's been a journey this year, and it's exciting. And my last topics for the past couple of months, I've been focusing on the cross. And guess what I'm doing today? I'm going to be focusing on the cross. Jesus is good. Because of Jesus, I am here. I'm sure because of Jesus, you guys are here. And he deserves all the praise and glory, you know. And I really want to step in as myself and as a family, as church, all together into what he has prepared for us. I'm going to start reading Matthew 28, and this is what my sermon is going to be. So let's dive into Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. If you guys know what that is, it is the Great Commission. And Holy Spirit put this on my heart. I feel like these verses are preached so much, but I want to bring a different perspective on this. Let's read it. If you guys are there, Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came. This is so, let me put some context if you guys don't know. Jesus came on this earth. He found some random 12 guys. He made them disciples. He poured into them. He went on the cross. He died. He resurrected. He's coming back. And this is what he's saying. This is literally his final words on this earth, right? We call it the Great Commission. But I feel like that's Father's and Jesus's heart towards us to pass down. He's like, I'm out. I'm going to give you Holy Spirit. Continue what I started. So verses 18, Jesus came and told disciples, his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So the cross that I was preaching, in heaven and on earth. So it goes vertical and horizontal again. Verses 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verses 20, teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you. And be sure of this. Be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I really want to literally build the whole topic on these three verses, because I really feel like the Great Commission is the heart of the cross. That's insane. Like, are you guys picking up on what I'm saying? If cross was a human being, the Great Commission is the heartbeat behind the cross. This is the center of it all. I mean, God, just imagine this. The reason why I say this, when I was prepping this heart, I haven't been emotional for years. I wept multiple times when I was prepping this sermon, because I really felt like I touched the heart of the Father. I really feel like this is the Father's heart cry, something so sensitive, something so deep to him. Just imagine this. Adam came on this planet. He goofed. He screwed up. Humanity suffering for 4,000 years. Jesus comes in. Our beautiful man Jesus, he comes in and he redoes everything that Adam did on that cross. He's restoring humanity to the original blueprint of what the Father meant in the first place. Can you guys imagine when Jesus conquered everything? He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered everything that came against humanity, us today, him in the moment. He conquered all of that. He was a champion. He was standing in front of Jesus, and God the Father, he was honoring him and crowning him, making him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, this is insane. Like, we're talking about Jesus, this man. If you look out of that context, this guy carries weight. Like, he's the owner of a universe. He's the creator of the universe. He's creator of us, right? And these are the verses, or these are the words that are coming out of this person, out of God himself in a human flesh. These verses came from him to us. When I, the more I pondered on this and thought about this, I'm like, oh my God, this is just so insane, because every single word needs to be dissected and understood. And we have to take this practically, literally. We have to apply this as bread, as life, as whatever you may say, because it's real. He's giving us mission. He's giving us vision. He's giving us future. He's giving us eternity. Everything is literally right here. And so I'm going to dive into it. Jesus, help me, because I got 6 pages. That's a lot. Usually my topics are about 4 pages. This is a lot. I have a lot to say on this. 4 pillars, what I'm going to talk about. The 4 pillars are going to be Jesus. He said, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. That means the whole Marvel series, you know, the Ant-Man and Batman and Superman, they're kneeling their knee in front of Jesus right now. He's above it all. We're talking about, doesn't matter what powers, doesn't matter the superheroes, doesn't matter the weaknesses, the strengths, everything in the heavenlies and on the earth. He's saying, I have all the power, all the keys. I don't know if you guys are picking up on what I'm saying, but this is like, wow, I want to follow this man. He's going to teach me a thing or two, because he knows. He's solid. He has it. Yes, please. Second one, power and authority in his word and his voice. What we need to follow. Third pillar, obey. Fourth pillar is Jesus is highlighting in verse 20. I'm going to be always with you. Let's dive into it. You guys excited for this? I am. I was like, man, it's tough prepping for the sermon. And then when you're like, this is the one I'm super excited for. Because sometimes I'm like, Lord, just feed your kids and like Monday, hello. It's tough. It's tough because sometimes the prices are like, it's real. Taking this position, releasing the word. And I'm not talking about your regular soulish thing. The testimonies that comes from some of the things that I release, I'm like, oh my God, only God can do that. Seriously, it's just because of my obedience, taking this position, speaking the words, and God anoints them and he transforms hearts and lives and directs them the other direction. So it's amazing, you know. Jesus, the first pillar, he's saying in these verses, Jesus has all the power in heaven, on earth, and in your life. In heaven, all angels, all spirits, as I was mentioning, they bow down to the name of Jesus, to the power of Jesus, to the authority of Jesus, to the of all of it. They bow down. Like there is no demon. If you guys ever prayed for demon-possessed people, it's fun actually. When you understand how to work this and how this you know works, when you command a demon to be cast out and flee, sometimes they don't budge. When you say in the name of Jesus, they get scared really quick because they have no right to literally disobey the name of Jesus. Every demon flees, every single spirit or whatever you want to, it bows down to the name of Jesus. On earth, recently, last couple of weeks, God was really, you know, speaking this to me. This is really good. On earth, every president, every boss, every single person that is in authority, they bow down to the name of Jesus. You know, we're looking at the wars and everything that's going on right now. I mean, it's chaotic. It's wild, you know. And you really, when you start thinking with your rational mind, with your flesh, it's kind of scary, you know. But when you understand that Jesus, he has the authority to guide every single heart. Like Trump is under God. Like Putin, don't matter his motives, he's under God. Zelensky, any war, every war, it does not matter. They are still under God. Anybody around this earth, doesn't matter how good they are, doesn't matter how bad they are, it don't matter the situation. God has access to their hearts, and with one situation, he can change the whole picture overnight. And I know you guys know exactly what I mean. So everything is truly under God's control. This is the fun part in your life. God has all power and authority. What does that mean? Sin. If you guys, I know none of you guys struggle with sin here. You guys are all pure and righteous. Come on now. You guys made it and got it. Jesus, his blood, it erases it like it never existed. Oh my God, that gives me like hope. Thank you, Lord, that if I goof, you will be able to cover me. You will be able to cover me, my fears, my death, the anxiety of the future. Seriously, when he says all power, this is exactly what he's releasing. He's releasing full coverage over your fear, over your sin, over your death, weakness. Weakness, I want to mention, some people think they are strong. And the Bible says when you are weak, he is strong in you. He covers us, literally. When we humble ourselves and we come before him, he got this. And this is so beautiful because the cross, this is the heart of the cross, vertical and horizontal. I'm going back into it because this is the heart. God's, thank you, Lord. Thank you for just putting the right seeds in your children that they will pick this up and they will carry it and they will hunger for you after this sermon. Thank you, Lord. All these powers, if you guys really think about the force that I mentioned in your just now on the last one in your life, sin, fear, death, and weakness, they're actually powers. Bible talks about we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, we wrestle against powers, right? These are powers. They don't have the final say in your life. Jesus does. I really want to slow down on this because I know we all battle through this. We struggle with temptations. We struggle with the fear of death. A lot of people, when they still haven't figured this out, or especially, you know, not godly people, they struggle with death. I see it all the time. They're afraid. Fear, that thing is real. It will hit you and it will attack you, that you're going to be paralyzed. Jesus has the final saying, and the cross said it all. He said, you guys are good. Just come under the umbrella of my coverage and you're good. Surrender the fear, the sin, the death, weakness, all of it to him, and you will be set. You will be set free and you will be full of my truth. I really wanted to make a home run with this sermon, so I added some really amazing stories that I found. Awesome stories. I want to dive into one of them. This guy, I'm going to read it actually, just so I don't miss it. This guy's name is William Carey. He was a shoemaker in 1807. This is so good. I'll read it. A 26-year-old British cobbler named William Carey stood trembling before his skeptical Baptist Association. He pleaded to be sent to India. One pastor interrupted with contempt, "Young man." Sorry, I'm not going to do the impressions. I love doing it. he pleaded, "Young man, when God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without your help or mine." Corey, this is a 26-year-old guy that took verse, you know, God's instruction in heart. Look at his response. Corey looked at him in the eye and answered, "Sir, I believe the scripture. When it says the risen Jesus have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." Wow. "If that is true, then the command go is not exceptional." This is his response. This is in 1807. You guys hear, this is how real it is when we take the word of God seriously. "Go is not exceptional." He's taken it so serious, too hard, that he says, "This is the command and I'm doing it. I have no other options. This is the only option I have. I must go." He left with almost nothing. His wife, half mad with fear, no mission on board, no money. This is insane. In the process, he buried his children, endured malaria, watched his wife died. I mean, this is a serious price to pay. Faced riots, government bans. Yet in his journey, he wrote over and over and over again, "All authority belongs to Jesus. Therefore, the nation must hear." By the time Corey died, he translated the Bible. This is before AI and before, you know, technology, just saying. It took him years, into 6 major Indian languages, founded dozens of churches, ended the practice of widow bearing called SETI. What it is It's a funky thing. If a woman really honored her husband and the husband passed away, when they would be burning the husband, the woman would get on the fire and get burned alive, because this is how you honor, you know. Anyways, it's a wicked, really messed up, you know, tradition that they did. So he ended that and stopped the slaughter of baby girls. Today, millions of Indians believe traces of their spiritual lineage to that man who refused to let any earthly authority silence the authority of Jesus. This is powerful. This guy, like, he literally took scriptures and he ran with it. He lost his wife, kids, struggled with health, and he stood on this word like it was his breath. Literally, it was like the life itself, you know. Stories like that, they encourage me. If you guys, I know Tommy did a lot of history searching. They empower you, because when you see people from dark ages, what kind of sacrifices they made, and people nowadays struggle to come to church on Sunday and follow Jesus, it's like, yo, really? It's kind of funny. Second pillar, because Christ, this is what Holy Spirit is trying to point out to us, to us as a body. I'm really delivering this to us because as a leader, I want to take us as a family, whatever God is doing with this. And I know he's birthing the heart and manifesting heaven. He wants to bring all of it. Because Christ is in charge, we follow his word. You know, I hit it hard on the first one. He has all the authority. He said it. I mean, can you guys, how many of you raise of hands? Would you guys follow a guy like that who has all the authority everywhere? Awesome. We got 10 people. Hopefully more. She raised up two hands. She'll follow him to the ends of the earth. Let's go. I would, meaning that, like, when a person has the full authority in heaven and on earth, when he says, it goes. I know a little bit of authority and how much sometimes people try to use my word, and I'm like, I never said that. No. I can't even imagine what, I mean, can you guys, God spoke it, it came. One word created you, created the heavens, the earth, everything. When God releases that word, you can believe it, you can build on it, you can bank on it, you can sacrifice everything, because it's alive and it's eternal. And this is what we're focusing on today. This mission, as I was saying, you know, we, our culture right now and society and everything, we are so in the gray. I'm praying that God will take us out of the gray, that when we look at the Bible, we see black and white. Either you're in or you're out. You're in and you're out. As soon as we get to that point, everything changes. It's not, there's going to be no struggle. There is not going to be doubting and this and that. You're in. Either you keep your head or you don't keep your head, you know. And in most countries right now, that's what it is. If you are a Christian, you are persecuted and you get slaughtered. Now we're good in America. We don't fully realize how it's actually supposed to be. When a king gives order, and I'm talking about when you're reading the Bible, when you're praying in your private room and Holy Spirit whispers something to you, take it to heart. Write it down, put a date on it, put it under your pillow, put it in your pocket, put it in your wallet. Like, if you're reading the Bible and God highlights something from the Bible, do it. Get a flashcard. That's what I started doing. I started marking the dates. I started taking every single promise to heart, because I'll take it right now. I'll save it. I'll bank everything in my heart on it, that that word is going to come to pass. But I will put all of my faith, all of my hope, all of my everything, that if God says it, the King of the universe, it's going to come to pass. That's what I'm trying to nail home, that it's not, there are so many Christian theologies everywhere right now. It's hilarious. People want to believe what the heck they want to believe, you know? That got to stop, and it will stop. As soon as it turns black and white, it's going to stop. Either you know God or you don't know God. And we're going to, what I'm doing with these sermons, with these topics, I'm prepping the foundation right now. Actually, multiple different foundations and platforms. When we go into the streets, when we start evangelizing, we're going to see fruit. It's a given, because our God is real. I know your guys' lives and your stories, and, you know, the beautiful stuff that God did with our own hearts. I know as soon as you release that and start saying that and praying for people that don't know God, their lives are going to be transformed. And this being said, when you put and when you trust God, when you put His promise into your heart, this is what builds your faith. If you guys want your faith to be strong, keep His word very, very close to His heart, to your heart, I mean. When you were baptized, this is a really, really good point. Again, goes back to black and white. We're in a gray. We think anything is permittable. If we sin, we get covered with grace. If we really bank everything on the word of God and what He says is true and we have to apply into our lives and we have to walk it out, your perspective is really different. When you got baptized, your whole, how many of you guys know this? Maybe you guys don't know this. When you got baptized, your old nature was buried. Anybody know that? Good. I got Christians in the house. That's awesome. One thing that we don't fully like realize and walk out, when you get buried, like in the new nature comes forth, as they always say, your own will gets buried with your whole flesh and everything else. People always play with the whole free will thing. Come on now. When you give your life to God, your will is not your will. This is like, this is so good. That's what the cross says. That's what the, you know, that's what Jesus' heart is. He gives you a new creation, a new heart, a new future, a new you. If you went through the experience of being born again, it's the most incredible experience ever. When you start smelling different, new tastes like you never smelled before, your colors are different, like literally a new life is given. I talked about this multiple times in different preachings, but it's so incredible. That means God is giving you a new destiny. Not whatever you choose, but whatever God is speaking and putting the desires in your heart, that's your future now. When God in this verse says go, that means movement forward. Most Christians have their butts seated on the floor. There is no movement. They just come in and they sit. God says go. He says go. Go into the whole world and preach the gospel. He said that means you have to leave your comfort zone. That sucks. We love our comfort. You have to leave it. So sorry, but you have to leave it. Making disciples, what is that? It's not just leading people into sinner's prayer. You know what disciples looks like? Making you disciples? That means almost like giving birth to babies and having your own kids. You brought the person to the Lord. They got saved. Good job. Now you have to baby them into maturity. You have to pray them out. You have to stand by them. You have to release God's word. You have to fight for them in the background when they are struggling. You're praying them out. I know what I'm talking about. This is really good. It's a lifelong, you like, person gets saved. When you go into, you know, discipleship mode, it becomes a lifestyle. It's a life-to-life connection. You are walking with people and you are being an example of what it looks like to be a Christian. Anja, you've been doing good. He started his own life group. Boys are like little soldiers popping in. Come on. That's what it looks like. They're teaching them the word and they are walking it out. And it's amazing because we make a choice. We walk it out. And you look back a year after, you're like, oh my God. Came one person and there's a completely different. Another year goes by. Oh man. Now they can prophesy. Now they can cast out demons. Now they can hear God's voice. It takes one choice of commitment and then a lifetime journey with each other to truly bring forth the Jesus that is in them. This is so good because this is practical. This is real. This is practical. And this is God's heartbeat. I'm telling you, this is God's heartbeat. I just pray the Holy Spirit puts this, opens every eye, because this sermon right here, this is for emotionally mature. Maybe a little bit spiritually mature, but emotionally you have to be mature in order to understand this topic. Discipleship means you walk with people. You walk with people until they grow up and they are able to walk on their own. They can pray in their private closet and they're not doing all this. They can prophesy. They can live and surrender their whole lives to Jesus for His mission and His purpose. They come to the understanding of what I'm preaching about. Look at the scope of what Jesus says. Go into all the nations and preach the gospel. God is not saying come into Transformation and preach the gospel in Transformation Center, yo. He's saying go into the whole world. What does that mean? Every skin color, every culture, anything and everything that accepts Jesus Christ, release His kingdom, release His good news, release His presence, His love. Why I say that? Because I want us to truly take off the limitations of what God has prepared for us and just become obedient. Because how many of you guys ever received a promise from God and the promise came forth, but you imagined it a million different ways and it came from a completely different like side? I know you guys experienced that. And this is exactly what I mean. You don't know if God wants to birth 1,000 churches through you. You don't know if He wants to save a country through you. You don't know if He's going to want to save one person through you, that the person's going to change the whole world. You don't know what His really mission is for you. The only thing you can do is be obedient in the moment, following His voice, like putting everything, like again, putting all the chips on the table and just saying, yes, Jesus, I'm all in. There is my will, there is your will. I select your will and like I'm fully in. All colors, all languages, all cultures, all ages, global eternal family that God is truly after. Can you guys imagine in heaven, we're going to be worshiping Jesus all in one accord. It's going to be good. Understanding each other. Loving each other, honoring each other. There's going to be no misunderstandings. We'll just love each other for exactly who we are. Third pillar or third point that I want to make. Teach people to obey Jesus. This is good. God says, you know, disciples, teach my commandments, teach them to obey Jesus. Like, Lord, I'm struggling to obey you. Hello? How am I going to teach somebody else, right? And leaders can understand me, what it is. This is the whole beautiful part of it. If you are a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old, you know what you can do? You can start changing diapers on your 2-year-old. That's just how that works. People from bigger families, they know what's up. You can literally, you just went through it. You can turn around and teach your younger brother. Be like, hey, I just did that. Stay away. You're going to get damaged. You're going to get hurt. Bad decision. You know what I mean? Like you can start helping people that are right there next to you. People say, what do I have to give? You have a lot to give, dude. Just make a simple little prayer. Lord, here I am. Pick me. See what happens. If you have the ears to hear, He will speak. Teach them all of my commands. This is what He's saying. This is what Jesus means. Teach them. Discipleship is teaching your people all of the commands. I want to clarify something. When I'm saying making disciples, I'm not talking about, this is not for people of fivefold or missionaries. This is for everybody. This is for single people. This is for married couples. This is for young couples. This is for more seasoned couples. This is literally for boys, for girls. I'm speaking to everybody right now. Discipleship, God didn't say, you know, hey, you pastor, and He gave the command. He just picked, you guys, like, He picked up His disciples from the streets, man. They were ghetto. Like, all 12 of His disciples were ghetto. Like, what I'm trying to say by this is, like, when He's saying to you, like, anybody, everybody, that Jesus that's on the inside of you, He wants to manifest that on the outside, on this earth, on this planet. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to be on this platform to pray for somebody and declare the name of Jesus over somebody. This is genuinely for everybody, and this is God's heart for us. He says, teach them all of my commandments, love your enemies, all of the commandments, forgiveness, so many Christians can't forgive. Like, bro, 7 times 70. Somebody poked you the wrong direction, forgive them. Somebody stabbed you, betrayed, forgive them. This is what God is, forgive them. Teach them all. This is a lifestyle, forgiveness, loving your enemies. And again, I'm preaching from a perspective of black and white. I'm not talking about gray area where we do funky stuff, you know. This is like, this is our heart posture. This is what it's supposed to look like. Radical generosity, sexual purity. Like, our society is so bad right now when it comes to like being sexualized and desensitized on everything. Go out on second date, that's it. If you're not having sex, there's something wrong with you. Like, seriously? That's not how it's supposed to be. And I'm not talking about like secular. I'm talking about Christianity in churches. Denying yourself. This is exactly what I'm preaching about. Denying yourself and taking on your cross. When you understand what Jesus done for you, how much he sacrificed, and what the cross meant for him, and what the price of your life is actually, you will lay down your life like with no hesitations. I mean, being with God and journeying him for 2 decades, thank God that God desensitized myself to myself. Genuinely, that I am able to pick his will and go all in. I don't care about none of it. Till death do me and him part. I really want to walk this out with all of us corporately, because I can't even imagine what will happen to Auburn, to Kent, to Washington. And I know it's going to go further than that. God is prepping everything right now. Every church, people are getting more radical. People are getting... Hello. Out of my personal life, when it comes to stage preaching, this is classroom. What that means is that when it comes to discipleship, you take somebody's hand and you walk with them. That's real life. Life on life, it's called. What does that mean? Every situation, the good, the bad, you're walking with people. You know, one of the most craziest things, people that I discipled and discipling throughout, life, my most vulnerable, deepest moments that I was going, you know, dark moments, I would share with them, you know, because I had nobody else to talk to or whatever. I'm like, that's it. I have lost a person. They will deny their faith and go their separate way. Revealing and being vulnerable to people around me and still showing them what I'm going through and keeping my gaze always on Jesus, that changes, that does something through them. Because that shows them that you can be real, that you can be after Jesus no matter what it looks like. A lot of times people on stages, what they do, you know, they go evangelizing and they miss it 1,000 times and they hit it 1 time. And that's the only thing you see is that 1 time. Like, bro, tell them that 1,000 times that you missed it. Because that's real Christianity. That's real following Jesus right there, you know? It's all of it. The good, the bad, the ugly, that's all of it. That's doing life with Jesus in real time. In eternity, it might look like, you know, better. But here, it looks dirty, man. Seriously. The stumbling, the struggling, the weaknesses, the all of it. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for his heart. Thank God for Holy Spirit. Thank God that he has mercy and grace on us and he pours out every day. It's a fresh, every day fresh manna and every day fresh grace and mercy that he pours out of us, onto us. Discipling, look at Jesus. He picks up these ghetto guys, 12 ghetto guys, young guys. They were, history says they were naked, they were weird, like all kinds of stuff, you know. He gets them, he pours everything into them. He breaks bread with them, he goes ministering to them, healing people, praying for people. At the end of the day, he teaches them parables that, you know, publicly he wasn't bringing insight into. He's being completely vulnerable, completely real with them. He's like, he's always with them. He's not separated. If Jesus was doing something funky, his disciples knew it because they were always together. You know what I mean? He showed them the example of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He showed them the example of what it looks like to go on the cross and die for them. You know what the disciples did? They all went and got hung for Jesus, because Jesus showed the example of what it looks like. Wow, that whole picture, that just wrecks me. It's so good. Why does it matter for us to follow and obey? Because when you obey Him, you're showing Him that you love Him and you trust Him. That's really what it looks like. When I was on some of my crossroads, not knowing what to do with ministry, not knowing what direction to go through, reading the Word, you know, reading what Jesus was saying to Peter. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? He was doing a thing, but it's so funny. When you love Jesus, you're going to obey Him. When you trust Him, you're going to obey Him. You know what I mean? It's like it's a two-sided coin. I'm here because I love Him. I genuinely love Him. What the future looks like, I trust Him. I'll just be obedient. Genuinely. Obedience produces strong faith. It goes hand in hand. Obedience produces obedient people. Ho, ho, ho. So good. When you can be discipling somebody and people can look at your obedience and your love and your trust towards Jesus, guess what you will produce? That. Exactly that. You are an example to people that are under you. You are an example to the people that follow you. And it's not complicated. It's not theological. It really is not. It's really simple. You go get loved by Jesus and you go love on other people. And this is His heart. Obedience is both the goal and the fuel. Jesus, it's all about Him. Let me read you another story. Operations. This story is Operations Aka. That's what they called it. The reason why I picked these stories and what I want to communicate through these stories to you guys, these people right here in these stories, they are alive. They are a testimony of Jesus Christ. These people, they read the Bible and they took it practically. All of them, they took it practically. They're like, oh, that's what that is? We're doing it. They literally just banked on it, all of it. We read the Bible nowadays, and I'm like, good fiction story, you know? Like, we don't take it seriously. But these people, they took it seriously. God did radical things through them because the foundation was the Word. 200, like hundreds of years later, we're reading their stories. We are able to get this and see what Jesus did through their lives. See how powerful these things they are when we bank everything on Jesus. So look at this. This is a wild one. In 1956, five young missionaries, Jim, Nate, Ed, Pete, Roger, landed on a South Barn. And this is a very condensed, story of it. All of them are very condensed. Landed on a South Barn in Ecuador. At that point, they had a plane. They landed on a lake, and they were camping out. Their goal was to go preach the gospel and see Jesus manifest. They landed in Ecuador to reach the violent Aka tribe. On January 8th, they were all speared to death. These, when you look into this tribe or whatever, they were against outsiders. They were only focused on their own tribe. And so they had these spears that are 8 feet tall, and they would just spear any other outsider that is not of their tribe. Anybody they see, they kill. That's kind of what it is. And so five of these outsiders got speared. They all died. The world called it a senseless tragedy. But Elizabeth, that's James' widow, took, look at this. This is radical. And this is what God wants us, how He wants us to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for stories like this and for people like this and their actions. It's amazing. Jim's widow took their infant daughter, Valeria, and moved into the very village of the killers. She learned their language. She ate their food. She raised her child among them. When the men who murdered her husband asked, "Why did you come?" she answered simply, "Because Jesus said, I am with you always." Sheesh. She was a crazy woman after Jesus, that's for sure. Years later, the entire tribe came to Christ. One of the killers, the man named Chemo, stood in the church and said, "We murdered your husband, yet you lived with us, loved us, and taught us to obey Jesus. We now know the one who was with you is the one who is now with us." That's good. Can you guys imagine? She took these words to heart. "I am with you." Like the cross, Jesus is with us. Like right now, Jesus is, he's present. Tomorrow when you wake up, you might be, you know, in your bubble of Monday worries. He's with you. Monday through Friday, day and night, he's always with you. We realize it or we don't. I'm sure when she was with them, I don't know what she went through. Probably for trying to forgive them, changing her whole culture, living who knows where, how this tribe lived, trying to feed and being completely by herself with an infant. Can you guys imagine, like, knowing that an 8-foot spear might be coming her way when she was going into the tribe? She did it anyways. That's insane. But look at the fruits. The whole tribe got converted. They knew Jesus and they truly, genuinely started serving them. Look at this. Look at this. Today, the Warani Church is strong. Can't pronounce that. Sorry. Sending their own missionaries. All because of one widow who believed the promise literally. Sacrifices like this, you don't know what Jesus is going to do with them. You don't know how many decades and how many hundreds of years your action might still carry weight. Jesus, 2,000 years, look at our lives. We're transformed. We're always getting transformed because of that cross. That cross is in us and it's alive. To my fourth point, Jesus is always with you. I want to encourage us today. Fourth point, conclusion, and we'll pray. It's not just on Sunday that God is with you, nor does he want you to be with him just on Sunday. He wants you to be right there with him tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, the day after, just doing life with him. Good days, bad days, scary days. When you guys made that public declaration, going into the water as your old self, coming in as a new self, you got accepted into God's eternal family. That's it. You guys are secure. You guys are safe. You guys are in Jesus' arms. Look at this. This is, I want to reread actually verse 20 right now, because Jesus is saying the same thing, but twice. Teach them. This is verse 20. Teach these new disciples to obey all of my commands I have given you. And be sure that I am with you always, even to the end of age. Jesus is saying, no matter what, you can trust me because I'm right here. He's saying, you know, obey my commands, what I told you. But he's also saying that you can trust me. I'm always going to be with you. Like no matter what, if you genuinely put everything on that cross, your old nature, taking his new calling and destiny, your own will. Enjoy the ride, because he's going to be writing your story. Let me tell you the last story in this one. Oh my God. Have you guys ever read in history about the Moravians? Anybody? Okay, we got one. I really want to encourage you guys. Go and check this story out. This will transform your lives of what Christianity looks like, how simple it is, how amazing it is, and what the acts of this group of people did. The big waves and the revival waves that came after this, this was in 1727 in Germany. Out of this movement and out of this prayer came multiple different big revivals. Many generals were raised because of this story. I'll read it right now. In 1727, a small group of persecuted believers in Hanover, Germany, gathered in under, these names are killing me, Zenhard. Okay, so group of people traveled into Germany, and this guy, he was rich, and he was praying to God that God would send him an opportunity who he can invest. He was rich, he had money, who he can truly, how he can make better use of his money, and he wanted to sow it into the kingdom. And this small little group of people come, and they're like, we just want a place to worship Jesus. He's like, you are the answer to my prayer. So he literally gives them some acreage. They build, huts. They build living quarters to do exactly this. And so they were refugees, exhausted, divided. One night they read Matthew 28 and felt the Spirit grip them with this exact phrase, teach them to obey all commands. Wow. They made a covenant. That's what it is. It's not an emotional roller coaster. They made a covenant. They said, as a group of people, they're like, this is what the word of God is. Till death do us part. Let's make a covenant. No matter what, we're going to go all in. All of our lives are going all in. They made a covenant. Every member would disciple at least one other person in radical obedience. And together they would send the gospel to the nations. What happened next is almost unbelievable. Within a few years, this tiny community sent out missionaries to the West Indies, Greenland, South Africa, North America, long before William Corey. This is in 1700s, so that's like what, 300 years back about? These guys made the way for us to be here today. This is Holy Spirit, truly. We have to honor that, what he did back then, because he's the same God today. One of them, a potter named Leonard Dober, sold himself into slavery in the West Indies so he could reach slaves no one else would reach. This guy went into slavery. He sold himself so he can bring the Jesus to these people, to the slaves. Talking about radical, that's, wow. You got to be motivated by Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. In the West Indies, he can reach. Okay, when asked why, he answered, I am teaching these new disciples to obey the command to love even when it costs everything. The little band in Hernet launched the modern missionary movement. Their motto was simple. No one is beyond the reach of obedience to Christ. This is what their motto is. This is what their covenant is. This is a very condensed, paragraph that I'm saying. Go and really search this out. It's amazing what God can do, what God does, what God did with them. Three things. This is for us. This is, why I want to release this. They prayed. They stayed in unity. And they spread the gospel. And it all flowed from taking Jesus' words to heart. Teach them to obey all my commandments. We have been baptized here. Our next assignment is truly. And I've been doing it. I know the blessing of it. I know the fruit of it. I know how beautiful it is. Because it's good for you to have Jesus on the inside of you in your heart, right? But it's so much better and so much more tastier when the Jesus on the inside of you can be released and you can see him as a fruit. A changed heart, a changed life, a miracle, a testimony. That's literally Jesus being manifested visually. And this is where I'm going with this. It's like when it comes to Jesus, why it's the cross, why it's vertical and why it's horizontal, why Jesus gave this command, because he wants to take all of us globally, here locally. He wants to take us back into the garden. He wants us to truly connect with heaven and live in heavenly realm on this earth. But it starts with prayer. It starts with unity. It starts with truly sharing the gospel and releasing Jesus. into the people around us. You know, people, when people tell me, preach the gospel to who? There's nobody to preach it to. Take your child. Start simply. Ask Holy Spirit, like literally pray. How many of you guys ever prayed for something and God on the spot? He sends you a person. He sends you a situation. Come on. All it takes is a prayer. Neighbor, co-worker, child. Some people really got to pray their children out. Look at this. The process of discipleship, it's slow, it's patient, it's life on life teaching of what obedience looks like. You know what it will cost you? Time, being vulnerable, and your comfort. It will cost you your comfort. We Americans, we love our comfort. It will cost you time. Why I'm saying this? I truly, genuinely believe this. If you have been a Christian for a couple of years, you can start depositing what Jesus poured into you into other people. That's how simple it is. It's not complicated. We have so much skeptic people in churches all the time. I want to give this to somebody. This is not my agenda, and I don't want to, you know, cultivate something and do something funky in the background. This is the heart of Jesus. This is the heart of God Himself. He wants you to pattern your life accordingly because there is something behind it. There is something in the process of it. There is something in the future of it. He wants you blessed. He wants you protected. He wants you truly to be after His will and in His will. There is something about living outside of your life. There is something about living a selfless life that makes you a different human being, genuinely. When it's all about you to get more money, to get more, you know, whatever, fame or build a name or something like that. Dude, that's not what God is. That's not what's here in this church. That's not what we preach and that's not what we stand on. That's genuinely, literally the only option that Jesus gave us. Four things. I'm going to wrap up. Four things that God said. I have all power. How many of you guys believe that He has all power? Because if you guys don't, it starts with this, that cross, it carries power. When you believe it, when you know it, it doesn't matter if it looks a certain way. You have to move forward. Next step, after believing this, next step is going, movement, moving forward. It can be discipleship. It can be just being obedient to Him. It can be truly getting out of sin. It can truly be just getting out of fear. It can be out of anything. Jesus says, go, believe in His power, believe in anything, and then go. Why I say that? Because before you disciple, you have to get it yourself. You have to walk the walk first. When you got that phase, then you start discipling people. So if you're in a phase of walking it out by yourself, just come and be with God. Whatever that looks like. Good day, cool. You sinned and you goofed, cool. You come back into His presence. You repent. You seek for His grace and His love. He will fill you. He's not a judgmental God. He's a good God. He will soften your heart. He will set you. He will give you hope. He will put faith through the darkness. When people sin, I really want to say this because a lot of people here have hardened hearts. A hardened heart is caused by sin and outside of God's presence. That's what a hardened heart is. You can't understand. You don't have the eyes to see and you don't have the ears to hear if you're in that place. Everything is logical. Everything is, nothing makes sense. You just can't see God. You can't feel God. You know what these Moravians and the story that I'm still going to finish? Their first step before they went into crazy prayer, their first step was repentance. women, men, children, they came before each other and they just started repenting, laying all of their sins out. Whatever that was, rejections, unforgiveness, jealousy, whatever they had towards each other, whatever they had, you know, towards God, they just laid it all out. They repented. And then they just went after God in prayer and worship together. That really just opened up the heaven. Fourth one, after baptism, and I want to show you guys two phases of this coin. When it comes to discipleship and discipling people and showing them by example and leading them, you guys are accountable as well to be on the right path, following God's command and being faithful to His commandments. When it comes to all of Jesus' commandments, even though they are in the Bible, even though we understand them, but it's a lifelong journey to like live it and learn it in new phases and new ways every single time. How many of you guys ever had unforgiveness towards somebody? And then you forgive them, and how many of you guys had unforgiveness against or somebody? How many of you guys forgave and learned how this works two times and then you fell into it a third time? Okay, case in point, we're all the same. We are all made of the same meat. We goof on the same stuff over and over and over and over and over again. And God says, you know, go follow my commandments and live them. When you're in a process, disciple others and help others to step into God's calling as well. I really want to say this again. This is for everybody. Doesn't matter if you're in school. Doesn't matter if you're at work, in university. Doesn't matter when you're retired. We have home groups for singles right now. One of the things that I'm praying about is for God to raise up single, like for couples and for young families. Because our house is missing that a lot. We need that. He said, yes, you guys, please help me pray on this. That God would truly establish for every single group that needs support, that needs a community, that needs truly a place to go and just be together. Prayer warriors, again, singles, girls going through their own stuff, boys, families, older families that are seasoned, new families that are starting to truly love on each other, serve each other, be an example to each other, help each other, pour into each other, because that's what it looks like. When God is talking about unity, that's what it looks like. Our culture is so laced with independence, we got to break that off because that's not what kingdom is. Kingdom is being dependent on Him. And each other. Obedience is not optional. Disobedience is delay. Excuses are rebellion. If you're looking from a perspective of black and white, that's what it is. It's a tough truth, but it's the truth. That's what it is. When you are a Christian, you got baptized, your mission is to mirror Jesus and mirror heaven on this earth. That's what it is. Acknowledge it, repent it, proclaim it, ask for help, repent it, whatever that looks like when you're on top of your horse. Keep on loving on people when you're going through your valleys or whatever. You keep on loving on people and just coming in humility before God. Whatever that looks like, you're all in. You're in for eternity. You guys, what I'm trying to break off with all of this, all judgmental. We have this churchy stuff that you have to be perfect, you know? You have to be perfect, especially if you're a leader. You have to get all your stuff together. I get judged all the time. And it is so annoying. And I'm going to break all of that. Because me, even being a leader, I still have my weaknesses. I still struggle. I still have my lows. I still come in humility before God. And I'm like, help. And I'm still being an example and on this stage. Year after year. And I'm seeing more and more of God in my heart, and I'm seeing more and more of God in your guys' hearts and lives. And even this year, what God is doing with us, we're going to see more God and really more powerful ways on streets and what God is opening up the doors for us. I'm enjoying this. I don't know about you guys. I'm enjoying it. Bringing glory to Jesus is what it's all about. Look at this. Baptism is the front door to kingdom. Obedience is the lifelong journey. And both happen best in the community. That's good. We can't do it without you, I can't do it without you. You can't do it without me. We can't do it without each other. If God could say that you can do it by yourself, he probably would have created a planet and dropped you in that planet by yourself. And he's like, you got this. Cultivate this planet and do it by yourself. He did not. He created a vertical cross. He created a horizontal cross. He created a cross that we will love on God. We will worship him. We will serve him. We will just be with him, like doing life on the inside of us where nobody sees. We're going to come to him and surrender all of our struggles, all of our pains, all of our confusions, you know, all of it. We're going to come to him and just be real. Sins, all of it. Moravians, in one of the covenants that they made, we're going to pray, we're going to release the gospel, and we're going to be kind to each other. That's another thing that stood out to me. Like, we're going to love on each other. We're going to be kind to each other. We're going to preach the gospel, and yet we're going to demonstrate it with action, because that's what it is. It's one thing to say. It's another thing to show and to be and to live it out. The two, they have to match. What you talk about, you have to live it out. We are all ordinary people. When you say yes to him in obedience, you become extraordinary, and your stories become extraordinary as well. Let's get up. I'll wrap up and we'll just go into prayer. Did you guys enjoy this? Did it speak to anybody? Come on. Thank you. I just ask the Holy Spirit would take these seeds and he would take his, he just puts this deep into every single heart. Because if that's what the last thing that Jesus on this earth released to his disciples, guess what? We are his disciples today in 2026. We are no different from the disciples that were there 2,000 years ago from right now. His heart and his heart desire is exactly the same today. It's not about us. It's about him and it's about his other people. I want to end with a few of these questions. When you're going to be doing this week, Monday through Friday, tomorrow, when you're going to wake up, ask him, do you love him? Because it starts with that. It starts with you loving Jesus. Ask yourself, do you love him? And answer that for yourself. If you say no, then at least you'll know where you're at. You'll know your state. If you say yes, then ask him what's next. What are you willing to do for him in this next season, in this next place? Because it takes two to tangle, as they say, right? God can put that desire in your heart, but you have to be willing. You have to be willing. This is the key element, you guys. It's not how super spiritual you are. You just have to be willing. You don't know what it's going to look like. You step out in faith and you walk on water. You're just willing. You're just doing it. What are you willing to do for him? Ask yourself that question. Just ponder on that. If you believe he's always there with you, he's there right now. He's always there with you. God is always going to want you to do something for somebody else. Ask him what he wants to do. Who does he want you to disciple? Who does he want you to minister? Who does he want you to love on? Who does he want you to start pouring into? Holy Spirit, I just ask, Lord, everything I've been speaking for the past hour, without your anointing, without your blessing, without your spirit, all of these are just words. Everything I spoke, I lived it, I live it, and I will be living it. just like I had the experience on genuinely seeing that I touched your heart, I just ask that this word and these seeds, they touch your people's heart. That they choose your will instead of their will. That their lives belong to you. And they trust you with everything that they have. There is always hope for you. It doesn't matter the season, the place, there is always hope. When we step out and ask Holy Spirit for opportunities to minister and to love on each other, God will send the right people. He will always be in the right minute. They're speaking the right things, doing the right things, blessing you. But you have to be after His own name. You have to be with Him. You have to trust Him. You have to believe Him. And you have to be on the mission of moving forward. Life is too short to live without God. Life is too short to live in sin. Life is too short to be afraid of death, of stepping out. Life is too short to sit in weakness. Holy Spirit, I just ask that your presence comes and wrecks us in this place, Lord. I just ask that your presence and anointing leads us and guides us in this next steps that we're going to be going after, Pop. I just ask that your Spirit builds us up, encourages us all the time, in the morning time, in the evening time, when we're on our different crossroads, that your Spirit always speaks to us and that we believe it with all of our hearts, that we take you seriously, that we are able to trust you, we are able to honor you by obeying you, we are able to see the manifestation of Kingdom of Heaven in our lives. We are able to be your servants. Paul was a firehouse. He said, I am a slave to Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank you so much. Sounds barbaric, but I just say thank you for making me your slave. My will is not my own. My will is yours. Jesus, thank you so much that you radically saved us, you radically changed us from the inside, and you radically give us these crazy missions, these crazy visions, and you are behind all of it, Lord. These testimonies and these stories that I read today, the Moravians, they dedicated themselves, 12 women and 12 men, to 24-hour prayer. They prayed an hour each, an hour a day. They did that. This prayer broke up into 100 years of prayer, day in and day out. All of the movements you guys heard nowadays, IHOP, the way they started, all the other movements of 24-hour prayers, they came out of the Moravians, literally out of these people. There are so many powerhouses and so many generals that were brought from that. 2 decades into being a Christian and following Jesus, and seeing what He has done through my life, I know He has big futures and callings for you guys. Because it takes ordinary people to step out in very extraordinary way by being obedient to Him and just being faithful. That's it. That's all that it is. Ingredients is easy. Being with Jesus, being humbled, being obedient to what He says, and just moving forward. You know what? I'm going to do what Danny did last time. If this sermon has spoke to you, raise up hands. If you guys want, come on. Can you guys hear? Can you, everybody that has a raised hand, can you guys go pray for them? Prepping for this sermon, I've been experiencing a lot of pressure. emotional, spiritual, that tells me one thing, that what is happening right now, this is serious. God is releasing something real. It's going to shift and change somebody's heart. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you seal them. I just ask that you seal them. I don't know what you're calling them into, but I just ask that they obey. I just ask that you encourage them. I just ask that you soften their hearts. I just ask that they learn just to enjoy your presence and enjoy the life that you have given them. I don't know what the situations look like or what the hearts look like. I just ask that your spirit is there. Love on your kids, Lord. Love on your kids, Lord. Love on your kids. I need it so much. I know they need it too. When your presence enters into me like fresh oil or like liquid fire, or when your embrace, when your love comes in and just wraps me, I want nothing else in this life. I'm dissolved. When I get to see into your heart's desires for my life, when I get to see your love for me, when I get to experience just a little glimpse of what your nature is, I just get undone, because this is something that is outside of this world. It's outside. It's supernatural. And I know it's real, because every encounter that I have with you, I come out of it a different person. I come out of it lighter. I come out of it wiser. I come out of it stronger. I come out of it closer to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for confirming your word to your kids. Thank you so much for loving your kids. I just ask that they never feel neglected, they never feel rejected, they never feel like they're alone by themselves. I just ask that your spirit is always with them in dreams and visions and displays of love through other people. Whatever that looks like, you show yourself and you manifest yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, that you are so good. Jesus' heart is not for our churches to be bigger. His heart is that we make more disciples. His heart is for more people knowing him and living with him. His heart is for his family to be bigger worldwide. Right there. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. Just rest on every person that needs you, that is hungry for you, that is desperate for you. Rest on every single thirsty soul, beaten heart, hardened heart. Only your presence is the answer. Only your love is the answer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I just ask that we take action. When you command us to do something, to obey or step out, that we are able to take action. Just ask that you simplify the Gospels for us. I ask that you simplify your heart's desire for us. I just ask that you simplify what it means to be a son and a daughter to the living God. You simplify this journey. And I just ask that you fill every heart, every soul with hunger, with thirst. I just ask that you fill every single heart with uncompromising love for you and your people. Give him a shout. I got two announcements. We are doing another outreach in first week of April 4th. If you guys want to be a part of it, please join us. I believe our flyers are ready. When I say be part of it, that means come and help and serve, because we're just going to be going, you know, to the people that need it genuinely. It's the day right before Easter. I'm excited. I'm pumped for it. The more we step out and the more steps we take, the more clear God is showing us of what it looks like and what's going to be happening. Second thing, it's already, we're not making it live just yet. We have Pete Cabrera, I believe his name is. We have him scheduled for first week of June. This guy, everything I preached about, this guy walks it on a different level. He's been doing it for over 20 years. Guy's an evangelist, but most of all, he's just a son of God. He goes on the streets. He loves on people. He sees, 90% probably of people getting healed, delivered, all kinds of things taking place. We're bringing this guy to show us how it's done. Come on, I'll be just vulnerable and blunt. It's going to be kind of like we do our conferences, but it's going to be more as in like class series. We're going to get equipped. We're going to get activated, and we're going to go on streets, and we're going to probably spend, Friday half a day, Saturday half a day, maybe even Sunday. We're going to get some hot dogs, some food, and we're just going to love on people. I'm super looking forward to it, because when God opens up a door to like for us, what's happening right now with outreaches and everything, He's going to send us the right people to help us. You know, listening to this guy, he's like, I went through all of it in a 20 years, all the ups and downs, all the insecurities, all the doubts that this cross, I really want to go deeper into it, because the inheritance of us walking in the power, supernatural power of laying on hands and casting out demons, of laying on hands and seeing the sick healed, and laying on hands and seeing the heaven manifested. As a body, corporately, I want all of us to walk in that. Obviously, it's going to be on all of us to go after it and do it. People that already know it, they'll walk it. I want to rub my shoulder against them. And Jesus, thank you so much, because it belongs to us. We just need some help to truly step into it and start walking in it. And so I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it, because again, it starts with identity. Believing who you are in Jesus, and then the whole cross starts manifesting through you. It's just believing. That's all it is. And living in His presence. Everything else, you're just enjoying the ride. Family, I love you. Thank you so much for being here. Have an amazing Sunday. Enjoy each other. Don't forget your free coffees. You can get it. We'll see you guys Friday and the next Sunday. Take care.